Welcome to the Kindred Church Podcast, where we talk about God, faith, and real life. This is Daniel Childs. I'm the host of the podcast and the pastor of Kindred Church. To learn more about how to connect with our community, check out our website at www.kindrednc.church. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We're glad you've tuned in for today's episode. Now, let's talk about God. I don't know if you've noticed this, but every week in worship, we do something that's kind of weird. At a certain point in the service, somebody, usually it's Minoka, she stands up and she reads out loud to us from this book. And then after that, somebody, usually me, spends about 15 or 20 minutes talking about what we read in this book. And part of what makes this weird, besides a group of adults or mostly adults doing a read aloud together, part of what makes this weird is that this book is so unlike anything else that most of us ever read. I mean, some of the stories in this book are over 3,000 years old. The newest, most recent parts of this book are still over 1,900 years old. This book was written by people who lived halfway around the world from us in a very different climate, in a very different culture. They had different technology. They had a different economic system. And so unless you're just a scholar of ancient Near Eastern literature, this book is unlike anything else we ever read. And yet, without fail, week after week, at some point during worship, we listen to the words of this book. If you join a small group this fall, and shameless plug, I hope all of you will join a small group this fall. Signups are going to be coming out any day now. And if you join a small group, you'll get together with a group of people once a week, and you'll spend some time discussing a passage or two from this book. I know some of you are in the habit of reading a bit from this book every single day on your own, or most days on your own. Now, if you've been in church your whole life, all of this may not seem that weird to you. I mean, this is just what Christians do. But for those of you that are new to church, for those of you that are coming back to church for the first time in a long time, you probably have a better sense than the rest of us of just how weird it is that we Christians over and over again keep coming back to this ancient book that we call the Bible. Now, I don't know this for sure, but I would guess that, at least for some of you, you've got some pretty serious reservations about the Bible, and for good reason. For some of you, the people that you've known in your life who are most excited about the Bible, you know, always talking about it, always quoting from it, those are some of the most obnoxious, arrogant people that you've ever met, right? And some of you have reservations about the Bible because you've just seen it used too many times to justify hate, to justify exclusion, violence even. Maybe you've seen politicians using it to try to manipulate voters. Maybe you've seen billboards using it to try to scare people into going to church. Maybe you've seen people using it to argue against science or argue against evolution. The list goes on and on and on. And so maybe some of you have wondered, why is it that a church community like Kindred, a church community that is affirming of LGBT plus folks, a church community that celebrates diversity, that's got no problems with science, why would a community like Kindred pay such careful attention to this book that has been used for so many purposes that are completely antithetical to what Kindred Church is all about? In other words, why do we care so much about the Bible? Well, the short answer is that because in spite of all of the ways that the Bible gets misused, in spite of all of the ways that the Bible has been misunderstood, there is one crucial way in which we believe that the Bible is absolutely reliable. We believe that the Bible is reliable. And today I want to spend a few minutes with you thinking about how that is and what that means for us. Now, before we dive into that, we are kicking off a new sermon series today. It's called Questions of Faith. Whether you are a lifelong Christian or a new Christian, or maybe you're not a Christian at all and someone is forcing you to watch this video, or you're tuning in just because you're interested in exploring this, sooner or later, wherever we're at, all of us run into these big questions of faith. Questions like, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Questions like, why is there evil in the world? Questions like, what's the relationship between faith and science? And is there a conflict there? Questions like the one that we're going to take up today. Is the Bible reliable? And as we wrestle with these big questions, there's not always easy answers. Sometimes the answers that we come up with actually raise more questions, but these are important. And so even though we're only going to be able to just scratch the surface of each of these questions, we think it's important to address these questions of faith, and that's what we're going to be talking about for the next 4 weeks. Well, for this morning, as we take up this question of, is the Bible reliable? You know, there's so much that could be said about this, but for today, here's the one thing that I want us to focus on, that the Bible is absolutely reliable in showing us who God is. The Bible is absolutely reliable in showing us who God is. And as we engage with the Bible over and over again, as we look for God within the Bible, we don't just grow in our knowledge about God in some kind of abstract way, but even more than that, this is one of the ways that we can actually encounter the living God in our lives. So let's explore together what that means. Now, before we look at why we believe the Bible is reliable, and we'll get to that in a minute, but I think it's important to point out up front that there are unreliable ways of reading the Bible. So I want to make sure you understand what I'm not saying this morning. I mean, for example, if you treat the Bible like a science textbook, if you go to the Bible looking for answers to scientific kinds of questions, you know, questions like how old is the earth and where did fossils come from and did humans and dinosaurs live at the same time, you're going to come away with answers that are less than reliable because the Bible's not meant to be read as a science textbook. We're going to talk about science more in a few weeks here. Another example, if you try to read every word of the Bible literally, you're going to come away thinking that some parts of the Bible are unreliable because there are parts of Scripture that are not meant to be read literally. I mean, when Scripture says, God is my rock, obviously that doesn't mean that God is an actual rock. On the other hand, when Scripture says, love your neighbor, that is not a metaphor. You should actually do that. So we should certainly take every word of Scripture seriously, and sometimes that means literally. And sometimes that means metaphorically or allegorically or spiritually. So there are certainly ways of reading Scripture that can make it seem unreliable, but if you think about it, that's not a problem with the Bible itself. That's a problem with that approach to the Bible. That's a misunderstanding of what the Bible is trying to convey. So again, the point that I want to make this morning is that the Bible is reliable in showing us who God is. And that's how Scripture is meant to be read. And the Bible has a whole bunch of different ways of showing us who God is. If you've read through much of any Scripture at all, you know this. There are so many different types of literature. There are so many different genres that are bound together in this book. I mean, there's history, there's poems, there's songs, there's laws and rules and regulations, there's written correspondence, letters, there's these mysterious visions called apocalyptic and so much more. And some of this is meant to be read literally, and some of it is absolutely not, right? And some of it is pretty straightforward and easy to understand, and some of it's really hard to understand. But I think of Scripture, it's kind of like a symphony. You know, in a symphony, you've got all these distinct instruments that make their own unique sounds, and they come together to make one song. And I think in a similar kind of way, Scripture's got all these different parts to it that in their own distinctive ways and then together help us to understand who God is. Now, some of you are wondering, well, how do we know that? Right? What makes us so sure that the Bible is reliable? You'd expect me to say that. I'm a preacher, but why do we believe this? I mean, as we said, the Bible is old, and it was written by people who are very different from us. I mean, the truth is, we've gained a whole lot of knowledge about a whole lot of different things since the Bible was written. The people who wrote the Bible, the people that we find in the Bible, they didn't have the kind of scientific knowledge that we have today. They didn't have the technology that we have today. So what makes us so sure that the Bible is reliable in terms of its information that it gives us about God? It's a great question. And I think there's a number of different ways that we could go about answering that question. But I think one of the best answers actually comes up in this story from Luke 24 that we read a few minutes ago. So I want to explore this story with you. This is one of my favorites in all of Scripture. Here's the background for this scene. This story takes place on the afternoon of the very first Easter. And the way Luke tells us the Easter story, at this point, nobody has actually seen the risen Jesus yet. Early that Easter morning, the disciples went to the tomb where Jesus' body was, and they discovered the body was gone. You know, the tomb was empty. And then some angels were there, and they announced to the disciples that Jesus had been raised, he's resurrected, but nobody had actually seen him yet. So it's later that same day, it's in the afternoon, and we meet two of Jesus' disciples, and they're walking along a road together. It's kind of out in this rural place between cities, between towns. The disciples are on their way to a friend's house where they're going to spend the night. And of course, as they're walking along, they're talking with each other about this crazy thing that happened that morning with the empty tomb and the angels and all. And, they're not sure if they believe it. And if they do believe it, they're not sure how to make sense of it or what it might mean. Well, as they're talking about all this, this stranger happens to catch up to them. He was on the same road, going the same direction. And as Luke narrates this scene to us, he lets us in on a little secret here that the disciples in the story don't know. And that is that this stranger who approaches them, this is actually the resurrected Jesus. And the disciples can't recognize him in his resurrected body yet. That's going to change in a bit. But at this point, we know it's Jesus. The disciples don't. Well, they start talking to Jesus and they fill him in on this whole empty tomb thing and the angels and all. And they're saying they don't know how to understand it. Well, what does Jesus do in this moment? Did you catch this? Jesus, even though they don't know it's Jesus, he actually starts to explain to the disciples the meaning of the cross and resurrection. In other words, he's explaining to them who he is, that is to say, who God is and what's been accomplished through the cross and the resurrection. And how exactly does Jesus do that? Don't miss this. This is Luke 24:27. It says, "Then Jesus interpreted for the disciples the things written about himself, the things written about himself in all the scriptures," that is the Bible, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets. You see what Jesus is doing? Jesus is pointing to the Bible, right? He's saying to the disciples, look, you want to know who I am? You want to know what I've done for you? You want to know who God is? Jesus himself says, look to the Bible. Well, as the story continues to unfold, the disciples still don't recognize that this is Jesus that they're interacting with, but they get to the house where they're staying the night. And it's late, in that day and time, you didn't want to be traveling around at night. There was a lot of danger. And these disciples show some hospitality, so they invite Jesus to come and stay in the house with them. And as they go into the house together, they continue this little Bible discussion. They continue this Bible lesson, and they actually share a meal together. They break bread. They drink wine. And at some point during the course of that meal, it clicked for the disciples, and they finally recognized that they'd been in the presence of the resurrected Jesus this entire time. And in that moment of recognition, in that kind of epiphany moment, here's what the disciples said to each other. This is Luke 24:32. The disciples said to each other, "Weren't our hearts on fire when Jesus spoke to us along the road and when Jesus explained the scriptures for us?" When Jesus explained the scriptures for us. So there's two things. There's two things that I want to make sure that we don't miss in this story. And the first is that Jesus himself points us to scripture. Now, at this time, what they called scripture was just what we call the Old Testament. We, of course, now have the New Testament in our Bibles as well. But the point remains, the resurrected Jesus explicitly tells us and shows us that scripture is reliable in showing us who he is, which is to say, who God is. And so that's why we believe scripture is reliable. And that means that for those of us who are followers of Jesus, and for those of us who are even interested in being followers of Jesus, reading the Bible, listening to the Bible, having discussions with other people about the Bible, all of this is just a non-negotiable part of our faith. It's essential for us. And that leads me to the second thing that I don't want us to miss in this story, that kind of like those disciples, as we read the Bible, listen to the Bible, have discussions with other people about the Bible. As we do all of that, we don't just grow in our knowledge about who God is in a kind of abstract way, but this is one of the ways that we actually encounter the living God. Maybe not a physical encounter like the disciples in the story, but nevertheless, as we engage with Scripture, oftentimes God does show up. And God has this way of using these words, these ancient words from this book, to speak directly to us. To speak directly into our lives, into our unique situations today. You know, Christians down through the ages have told us over and over again from experience that, you know, engaging with Scripture can be really challenging. It can be hard for us for a lot of different reasons. But as we do it, we can actually encounter the living God. So the challenge for all of us in this, I think, the challenge for us is to make it a habit over and over again to engage with the Bible. And to do that, not looking for scientific insights, not looking for, you know, not getting tripped up on the literal meaning of every single word necessarily, but to engage the Bible looking for God and looking for who God is, to open up our hearts and our minds and our imaginations even, to listen for God's voice, to listen for God's word to us in these stories and poems and prayers and letters and all the other things that we find in Scripture. So if engaging with Scripture on a daily basis is not already something that's a part of your life, I'd encourage you to make that a habit. And I know it's intimidating. It's a really big book. It can be tough to know where to begin. So if you need a little guidance, you need a little help, please reach out to me, and I'd be more than happy to help you figure out how you could be engaging Scripture on a daily basis in your life. But don't just engage Scripture alone. You know, for any one of us, myself included, and I have a master's degree in this stuff, for any one of us, as we read Scripture, there's going to be things that we don't understand. There's going to be things that we missed. And the truth is, Scripture was meant to be read together. It was meant to be read in community. And so again, I would encourage you to join a small group this fall. And if you do that, you're going to have a community of people that you can have discussions about Scripture together with. And you will learn and you will grow and you will encounter the living God in the process. Same goes for our engagement with Scripture in worship. You know, even though we can't be physically together as we worship right now, still, we should be actively engaged with the Bible as we worship. Really listen as Minoka reads Scripture to us each week and think about what do you hear in that particular text? What questions does it raise for you? How does it challenge you? If it rubs you the wrong way, and it may rub you the wrong way sometimes, think about why does it rub you the wrong way? And then listen to the sermon. And be thinking about, does what you heard in that Scripture match what I heard in that Scripture? And sometimes it will, and maybe sometimes it won't, and that's okay. And you know, sometimes as we're engaging with Scripture in all these different ways, sometimes it's going to feel like we're coming away empty. Sometimes it's going to feel like we've got more questions than answers, like we've got more confusion than clarity. But that's okay. That's okay, because what we know is that as we make it a habit over time to engage with the Bible, it will reveal the living God to us. So the bottom line is that as followers of Jesus, as people who are at least interested in becoming followers of Jesus, the challenge for us is to make it a habit to engage with the Bible, because at least according to Jesus, the Bible is reliable. And as we engage with it, we not only grow in our understanding of who God is, as important as that is, but it's one of the ways that we can actually encounter the living God. Let me pray for us. Oh Lord, we are so grateful for the gift of Scripture and the ways that you speak to us through the words of this book, God. Forgive us in the church for the ways that we have abused and misused this book. God, open our hearts and our minds as we engage the Bible to help us to hear your voice within it. And God, help us not only to grow in our understanding of who you are, but help us to actually encounter you. And we pray that those encounters would be transformative for us so that we would become more like the people that you have created us to be. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. And we pray all of this in your name. Amen. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Kindred Church Podcast. If this episode was meaningful to you, consider sharing it with a friend who might also enjoy it. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast here and give us a rating that helps us connect with more listeners. This free resource and all of Kindred's ministries are supported by the generosity of people like you. Your giving changes lives, and it helps us to share and embody God's love. If you'd like to make a donation, you can do so on our website at www.kindrednc.church. Just select Give. You can find lots of ways to connect with our community on our website, as well as on our social media pages. Thanks again for listening, and we will catch you next time.